in Jazaul Iman in Rawai Ahmad. And he has narrated this hadith. Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Rahmatullah Alayhi has narrated this, has included this hadith in his kitab. And the meaning of this hadith is this, that Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has stated that when somebody obeys me, when somebody obeys me and follows my instruction, Allah Ta'ala is stating here, then I become pleased with that person. I become pleased with that person. When I become pleased, then I give that person barakah, blessings. And so many blessings do I give to that person that there's no limit to the blessings and barakah that I give that person. Subhanallah. And then it's stated that when somebody disobeys me, then I send down ghadab. I become enraged, Allah Ta'ala says. And Allah says, when I become enraged, then I send la'ana, curse, wrath on that person. And Allah says, the wrath, my wrath and my curse is such that for 7 generations continuously that wrath and that curse continues. The la'ana. This is a hadith, my friends. And this is a very important subject of the deen. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given good news in the first part. And in the second part, Allah ta'ala is giving a warning. It's a news, an announcement, nadhir. And Allah ta'ala, the creator, Allah ta'ala sent such a great, great personality to this world who was Bashir and Nadhir. The good news, glad tidings that he was to give to this ummah. For that and for those things for us to be afraid of through nadir, through warning, admonishment, for this purpose also, and how Allah Ta'ala prepared that Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was invited to the heavens. Allah called the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to himself, and after that the good news and the good scenes to be shared with Ummah, they were shown. And for those things that we need to be afraid of and be careful of, cautious of, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was shown those. And this is the night of Mi'raj that we're speaking about. So these were those ayat, bayinat, that Allah Ta'ala showed to His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is the meaning of this hadith. Now in this, the first thing we see is that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, when Allah Ta'ala is obeyed and the instructions are fulfilled, and obedience, following the instructions, what do we call this? Obedience, adhering to the instructions, those ahkams that are given to the person of Iman after bringing about Iman, according to Allah Ta'ala's orders, whether we're in the jungle, whether we're in any other country, whether we're in the ocean, whether we're on the heavens. But Allah Ta'ala's obedience is fard on that person in every maqam, in every situation, in every environment. And except for those where the Sharia has given a let off or a valid excuse, which the respected scholars tell us from time to time. And nobody can be free from Allah Ta'ala's obedience or run away from Allah's obedience. No. That our own man-made excuses, our own formulated excuses and thoughts and opinions, oh, what can we do? It's difficult. Oh, this sin has become prevalent and common. And this is to stand in front of Allah and challenge Allah. When a person does such actions that he is disobeying Allah's orders, and on the other side a person is fulfilling Allah's orders, when a person becomes stubborn and says that I do not want to obey Allah, doesn't matter what happens, then there's no one greater than Allah. And if after this obedience difficulty is going to come to my life, let it. If problems are going to come to my life, let them come. If issues are going to arise, let them. But I have to do amal, because this is Allah's hukum. This is Allah's order. And how can I reject this? One is a general hukum, that a person, for example, rejects or leaves, oh, I won't fulfill this, and he goes further. And then he says, oh, further ahead, for example, if you disobey somebody who's strong, powerful, you say, no, the general, if he orders, then you have to fulfill the general's orders. Because you know that if you disobey the general, then he's got technology or hikmah or wisdom or tactics, and you'll have to fight the general. Yes, will a soldier run back? No, he won't be able to, because the general has given the instructions. And we are, alhamdulillah, the people who follow Allah Ta'ala's orders. How can we run back after Allah has given us the instructions? And Allah has given us a great, great reward. That the hukum that I'm giving to you, if any problem, difficulty comes, even if maut comes, no problem. Allah says, don't worry. Because after maut, after you pass away, I'll give you such a permanent life, which is shahada. So you can even recognize what is that life. It's everlasting. So we have no fear, we have no need to fear or tremble. Allah Ta'ala stated that if a person obeys my orders, and also there's obedience and disobedience. And both Allah Ta'ala has given the signs to His Habib that those who obey me, what is their position? And those who disobey, what is their position? And those who follow Allah Ta'ala's ahkams and laws and instructions, then they become steadfast, and Allah Ta'ala's hukums and orders, they follow them and live a life of following Allah's orders. Then the result that Allah Ta'ala has given, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went past a certain place and Jibreel Alayhi Salaam was with him, and he defined and he commentated on the scenes, and the Prophet saw a qawm, a nation, a tribe, and there were fields, and the seeds were sown, and suddenly the harvest would come quickly and they would cut down the crops, and then that person doesn't even go further, and then the crops have grown again and is totally nourished and fertile, and then the seed is sown again, and then the fasal, and then the harvest grows again very quickly. So they were prospering, those people. In the hadith it is stated, this is for that human being a scene of barakah, of blessings that Allah Ta'ala was showing, that that person who fulfills Allah Ta'ala's orders, so for the fasal, for the harvest, for the crops to grow quickly, when a person obeys one order of Allah's, then 70 times over multiplies, Allah Ta'ala multiplies the speed and the growth cycle. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was shown the scene that give the good news to your ummah, that do not fear, do not worry about problems and issues and troubles. Stand firm on Allah Ta'ala's principles and framework and structure of deen and life. Allah will give so much barakah. And the first rule that Allah will give is that Allah Ta'ala is pleased. That's the first rule, Allahu Akbar. And if Allah is pleased with someone, then what distress has that person got? He will have no illness, problems, difficulties, worries, issues. And a feeling will overcome that person. A feeling, and a hal, a condition will come over that person, that those things that he's losing in the world, those things that he's not attaining, those things that Allah has not given to him, and people in the world are benefiting from those things in an impermissible way, in a non-permissible way, and they think that they are fortunate and lucky, they've got treasures and money and worth, isn't it? In the world we have two opposite things, isn't it? One of those poor souls who are in the position of difficulty, maybe not enough wealth, etc., and they're on the journey of the deen, they're fulfilling Allah Ta'ala's orders, and those are the other people who are saying that they're living life. So the first are those people who are living their life in the journey of life in this world. And secondly are those who through the wrong means, through the wrong methods and techniques, they attain the wealth of the world. So those things, those people we think they are traveling the world towards prosperity. No, they're not prospering. Allah has given them a hala condition that Allah Ta'ala is making them lose out from the reality of deen and thereafter. And subhanAllah, the people who are on the deen, who are not prospering with material things, they understand, why is Allah not giving me this? Why is Allah giving me this difficult hal? Why is Allah Ta'ala not giving me this maqam of wealth or so much material goods? Why do other people have this? And people complain, why is this that I haven't got this, etc.? So when that person for the sake of Allah stands firm and he loses out materially in the world, then Allah gives that person a condition, a feeling, a nur, and that is called that that person becomes mutama'in, satisfied with his situation, qanaat, satisfaction, contentment. If I'm not getting these things, if they're not coming to me, most definitely this is Allah's karam. This is that person who is obeying Allah. And his fear comes out, his difficulties come out, his worries go, and losing sleep over problems and difficulties. Well, I'm not getting X, Y, Z. And for example, running after, like a headless chicken after the material things in the world. No, he will not live that life. Allah will give that person sakina, peace, contentment. If I'm not getting these things I want, or if I'm incurring loss, and I wanted certain things, I'm not getting them, and I've lost out, then Allah Ta'ala gives the first reward to that person of Allah's rada. He doesn't worry or fear, and he's mutma'in, he's satisfied with his life. People, for example, have pity on him. He says, no, I'm totally fine. I've got no difficulties and worries. I'm happy. I'm content. It's good that Allah Ta'ala has given me these things. If Allah had given me these things I wanted, I don't know what my hal would be. I've understood Allah's hikmah and Allah's secrets. And I will not try in an unlawful way to get these things. I won't waste my time. I won't take the assistance of wrong methods and means. I'll keep on asking to Allah. This is my right. And it's Allah who will give. And there's a certain unique way of asking. That when that individual then is asking for what he wants, but he's content and he's asking from Allah, then the style of his dua is such that Allah, if you give, it's your choice. Subhanallah. If you give Allah, it's your choice, but you've said yourself, ask me, and you know this is my desire, I want these things. If you give, it's your choice, but you've made me content, there's no worries if I don't get what I'm asking for. There's no clash. Allah, I will not complain. My Allah, my Rabb, I will continue to ask. I will keep on asking. If your karam comes and you give, fine. And if you don't, then I know that all the du'as I'm asking for those certain things in the world, then those treasures in the akhirah, the hereafter, will keep on mounting, and I'll get them. So Allah, if I'm asking you repeatedly, it doesn't mean I'm clashing with you, I doubt you. You've opened a chance for me that I should stay content. And I'm asking for this reason, so the asking doesn't go to waste. I will definitely get what I'm asking for when I get to the hereafter, inshallah. And I will see the mounds and stacks and piles of rewards. Allah will say, here, this is the compensation you asked in the world. You didn't stop asking. This is Kamal. Don't lose hope. Oh, why do I need to ask? Allah, I've asked and you didn't give to me. Why do I need to keep on asking? No. In a beautiful way, the mu'min in tahajjud, after salah, after dhikr, after reading Quran, in the same way he cries and pleads to Allah, Allah, give to me. Allah, give to me. Subhanallah. And then the relationship is strengthened. This is a great reward that Allah Ta'ala gives. The first, there are many rewards, but the point ends here, that Allah will give many barakat. And Allah says, there's no limit to my barakat. And when do we get this, my friends? When do we get this reward? When? On obedience to Allah. On obedience to Allah. Whatever Allah Ta'ala tells us to refrain from, this is haram. Kullun haram. And if Allah says it's fine, then it's totally fine. Alhamdulillah. Fajr in the morning, we're going to Fajr. If it's Fajr 2 a.m., we go to Fajr 2 a.m. Oh, Fajr, no, I'll pray at home. Or I'll pray somewhere else. Oh, how can I open the shop in the morning? Oh, I'm feeling unwell. Oh, I'm sneezing. No. Allah Ta'ala has made the law principle in no way of... Okay, these are the excuses. You don't have to. You're let off praying. But despite those excuses, valid Sharan excuses, and if we then don't go to pray based on our opinions, then that person doesn't obey Allah. If they're 5 minutes home, all five, their decision on their destiny will be made on the salah. The head of the house, he will be asked, he will be grabbed first. Why? Because the guide, for example, the sheep, they follow the shepherd, isn't it? And the people in the ummah, the people in a nation, they follow the king. And if the king, subhanAllah, is a thief, then everyone else will be a thief. And a person like Imran Khan will go and give all the money back. So I'm not a politician, but the example has come in my mind. So just like the king comes, then the condition will change. And this is the meaning of the hadith. So when the king or the leader, the president, prime minister, if he's given some children, even if he doesn't have children, he's still the king with the fadl of Allah. No difference. Yes? So Allah Ta'ala, for example, gives people spiritual children if they don't have physical children. And He gives them emotion. Allah gives them compensation in the hereafter. SubhanAllah gives a great compensation for those people who don't have children in the world. So the king is in charge and is the role model for the people underneath him. So who will be called out first? Nawaz Sharif, isn't it? Haji Sahib? It won't be you, will it? Yes? So first of all, who will be called? Yes, the leader. So in the world, the leader, when Allah will call out the kings, who anfusakum, Allah Ta'ala says. Isn't it? This is what Allah Ta'ala says, that it was your fard to correct your children. If you were the monkey and the animal, and you were doing wrong actions in front of children, then what kind of actions will your children carry out? You were a thief yourself and you wanted to make your child a hafiz. Mawlana Sahib doesn't teach my children. Mawlana Sahib is trying his hardest, but the Quran is not going into the heart of the child. Yes, he doesn't do hifz. He's not memorizing. And the child is not on the right path, the daughter. Why? Because when the king is spoilt, then the effect is on the kingdom, on the people. So who should be corrected first? The leaders, the head of the family, the parents. If we want our children to be correct, then we need to practice deen ourselves first. And never will our generation be made good or correct. Remember this, Desmond, how many Qurans you put on your heads, how many masjids you construct, how many hafiz and qaris. First and foremost, Allah said that there's no limit to my barakah. No limit to my barakah. Allah says, the person who follows the deen, a human being who's standing firm on the deen, and he obeys Allah, and he says, I want to make my children hafiz. Allah says, not one hafiz will be made, subhanAllah. To your generations, the hifz will continue to the generations. You will have seen this. One doctor, if you wonder, what's your son? He's a doctor. And the second, the grandson a doctor, and the granddaughter, she's a doctor, and it will continue for generations. Allah says continue. And if a Hafiz comes into the time, who are you? I'm the Hafiz, and your son is Hafiz, your grandson is Hafiz, he's my grandson, do dua, he's doing hifz, he's done 15 juz. And then the grandchild, the great grandchild, this is his son, this is my grandson, and this is his son, mashallah, he's done hifz. Huh? Stop somewhere. Allah says there's no stop. The stops will be in Jannah, when Jannah will fill with the progeny, the offspring. Subhanallah. Allah gives the barakat. There's no limit. Is this not the case, my friends? Am I saying right or am I wrong? If I'm wrong, then tell me. So first and foremost, the king is grabbed. So I've given you the example that no one was grabbed. Yes. And why? Why is the king grabbed first? The leader, the person in charge. The subhanallah, Allah, why are you sending me to Jannah? Allah, why are you punishing me? Allah, why is this happening to me? Allah, why am I being grabbed? Why is it me who's being arrested for these things? These are general things. Allah, why am I being grabbed first? Why am I being called upon first? Why is this happening to me first? Why was I expelled? Why was I picked upon? So want to do all the sins under the sun and compete against Allah and challenge against Allah. And we don't understand the hadith. These are clear. So one example of barakah Allah has given here. Now, disobedience, Allah is, Nabi Sazam was Nadir, he was the warner, he gave us the signs and the news. So what has Allah Ta'ala said to those people? To the seven generations, just like the Hafiz continued for seven generations, in the same way, here's a thief, then the second thief, then the third, the grandson will be a killer, a murderer, to seven generations, Nawaz Sharifs will continue to be born. That's why after one comes another. Isn't it? After one, they bring the other. Then after the second comes the third, the grandchildren, and then the great-grandchildren. But the bandits, the leaders, they do this. But the sensible people say, we have fulfilled our haq, Allah, accept this. And they don't put their children in the position, they have khawf and they have fear. They don't put the children in their line. Second, so till seven generations, thieves, bandits, criminals will continue to seven generations. And who are the disobedient people? Allah Ta'ala said, I'll show you, you see with your bare eyes, that for example, Rasulullah went past a qawm, a nation, and he saw Allahu Akbar. This is in the Miraj journey in the heavens, and there was a qawm, a group of people, they were being given a severe punishment of Jahannam. We need to go into our homes and look what's happening in our homes and compare to this hadith. We haven't just heard this, but Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw with his bare eyes this scene. Allah's Habib, Allah's beloved, he saw with his blessed eyes and told his ummah. This is not some folk tale Jackanory story, my friends. Rasulullah said, I saw this with my eyes. What should be our hal? That totally we become dumb and numb. Numb. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam see? The first thing that was shown, that those disobedient people, Rasulullah saw a group of people, Allahu Akbar, who were those qawm? That the angels would grab them and they would grab their heads. And there were two boulders of Jahannam. They would put the head on the ground and they'd crush the head with the two boulders of Jahannam. And their brains from internal part of the head would come out. My friends, when an injection goes into a person's body, doesn't matter how brave is a person, doesn't matter how brave and courageous, when the injection comes in, at least we shriek a little bit. We shriek, is it? It pricks us. We feel the pain. And we say, no, it's okay, doctor, you can prick me with injection. But when the needle goes in, we feel a bit of a pain. And especially those people who are ill, whose injections they keep going to, people like me, when the injection, the needle goes in, doesn't matter how brave you are, you will feel the prick of the injection. So if this is the consequence of an injection, the needle, the prick of the needle, so the boulders of Jahannam and the strong angels and those angels who are being prepared now for this punishment to be meted out. And Allah will make our heads such. And then the angels, they will grab hold of the boulders with such happiness and they will bang it onto the heads of those sinful people and their brains will come out. And tell me what will be the pain, the intense pain. And after pain in the world, mouth comes, death comes in this world, but in the hereafter there's no death. So within a second they'll crush the head with those boulders. Again the head will be reformed and then again the boulders will be crushed and hit and banged onto those heads. And this adab will continue for so long. We cannot absorb the prick of a needle in this world. My brothers, don't take what I'm saying badly. May we not be those people. Will we be saved? And those children we love today and we embrace them, for them we'll do everything, we're prepared, halal and haram, we'll do everything for them. But when my son, my ulad, in front of my eyes, this is what's happening to him or her in the hereafter, will I be able to absorb this? Allah Pak will give punishment in such unique ways. This world, we should live very carefully in this world. Don't just eat the meat of the Qurbani, the Eid al-Adha, and then lie down and go to sleep, my friends. When we earn and we put our money into the bank. It's not a place to hoard the wealth and to sleep and enjoy ourselves. As those people are fikr of the akhirah, the hereafter, that such deep breaths they take. And I saw my husband, my sheikh, he took such a long deep breath. Wallahi, I tell you that he took the long deep breath, and then the tears would come out of eyes of Hazrat Sahib, and his hands would tremble and shake. We thought, has Hazrat become ill? We don't know what's happened. And then with a light voice, he'd say, you don't know the time that's about to come, my comrades, my colleagues. And I remember this incident. Allahu Akbar. And his life was such an example. Not what one moment was he negligent of the obedience to Allah. Subhanallah. If he was silent, then the Quran was being recited from his tongue. The dhikr on his own heart. And his heart was reciting the name of Allah. And till his ruh, his life was dhikr, ruh upon ruh. And this was his hal, that he was aware and he understood the hadith that may I not be that person being punished between these boulders. Who were those people whose heads were being crushed with the boulders? Who were they? They were me, you, people like us from the ummah of Rasulullah. We think it's so easy life. We consider this sin as a minor. What is that? The Allah's Nabi said, what? Are these the people from ummah? Who are these people being punished like this? For which deed are they being punished? And Jibreel replied, this is those people from your ummah, Rasulullah, that you will be amazed when you hear. You will not believe that these are those people that they could do this action, my ummah. That they could carry out these sins, that people in my world do this. And Jibreel alayhi salam replied, yes, from your ummah. They'll be courageous. They'll be haughty and stubborn and arrogant. There'll be so many doing this sin and very few who not doing this sin. Who are those people? And these are those people who are negligent in their salah. Negligent, lazy. My brothers, tabligh is being done today. And every door, the doors are knocking. We give dawah. Women in jamaats, they leave. And the men in jamaats, they leave. And they're announcing in the masjid. Ulama, respected scholars, giving bayans, giving talks, giving fatwas. People like me, broken down, bone idle, trying to make effort for our own Islam and rectification. I'm a sinful person. But all four corners of the world, despite all of this work, I forgot. I used to give you a percentage some time back. I would give you a data point that I read about in India. A certain percentage of the Muslimin who pray. I was shocked that those who go and pray in congregation were only a few thousand. Latest data figures, data points from the whole of India. So much work of the deen is taking place. And this is the hal of this qawm. Today we say our difficulties, problems. Why have we got problems? We see few people. We say, oh, he prays salah. That majma of 100,000, a few 100,000 come for hajj. We say, oh, we do hajj, a few 100,000, couple of million. But this is not our reality. The reality is what? The data point that they extracted from India, maybe you'll remember from the previous bayans and lecture speeches, that only a few thousand people in the whole of Hindustan, India, that for 150 years, the Tabligh Jamaat is doing work of the deen. There are thousands of institutes, madrasas. There's no limit to the ilm that's being spread. And this is the consequence in India. Then what about the rest of the countries of the world? Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't grab people like this easy, quickly. Adab doesn't just come like this onto houses, onto families. My brothers, there are reasons. Allah ta'ala has promised that innaka la tukhliful mi'ad. Allah ta'ala's promise is haq, reality, truth. And how can we forget this? How can we be saved? So every individual, a person who, it doesn't say the person who doesn't pray, but when people are lazy about praying, their heads will get crushed between the boulders of Jahannam. So tell me, what will be the punishment of the people who don't pray at all? In a home, if your daughter, your son, my daughter, my son, or me myself, if I'm lazy, negligent in salah, that can go to pray salah, and I say, oh, I'm feeling sleepy, I'm feeling lazy, it's difficult to go to pray in congregation. One brother said to him, that why don't you fill this sheet? Oh, good person who's praying and studying the room. He said, oh, I get lazy filling the sheets. And then I grabbed my head. I said, Allah, where will this qawm go to? That where will our laziness and negligence and arrogance take us? Can this be a word on the tip of our tongues that we say to Allah, I'm lazy, Allah, I'm sust? And then we blame Allah, we complain, and we believe that we are servants of Allah. So if this is happening in front of us, our son, our daughter, our home, our children, our family, when they do this, we never think that Allah Ta'ala's ghadab, we have come into Allah's wrath and punishment. That our hisab, the hisab of our children is our responsibility. I have to answer for my children to one extent. That when they become baligh and youth, then it's their choice. But until they don't get to bulugh and maturity, it's my responsibility. And there's no guarantee that he's a wali of Allah, and that if he's a wali of Allah, he's then tarbiyah of all his children. And if he's spoiled, then it's not his responsibility. Even the children of the Nabis, they some went off track. But we need to see that, how much did I try, how much did I sacrifice, how much did I make effort to tell them about deen. The rest is Allah Ta'ala will give hidayah and guidance. Allah Ta'ala says that even from the offspring of Nabis, there were disobedient children. And from disobedient children, from disobedient parents, obedient children also come. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir, is Allah's choice, Allah's power. It's not our power and control, but Allah's given us responsibility that as long as our children are not baligh, mature age, it's our responsibility, duty to teach them and guide them. Not that you send your child to Darul Uloom or Masjid and I'm free. No, I'm not bringing him correctly. What did I say to you? First, who has to be correct? First, you have to be correct. Us, we, the parents. If I become the alim, then definitely my son will become the alim. Isn't it? If I become a person who prays salah, then the children in my prayer, in my family will get up and pray. If I keep the beard today, then inshallah my children will definitely keep the beard. If the mother does parda, then definitely haya will come to the daughter. But when should we start this? When the child is young, when we give adhan in the ears of the children, remember this, and when we get married, soon as we get married, the child is not even born, and if we're criminals and sinners, fine, but when the child is born, take responsibility, a big responsibility is coming on to you, your life has changed after marriage, and now Allah Ta'ala has given to you what? Allah has given you a responsibility, and this is such a responsibility that this child who is now born, in whose ears you are given adhan and doing tahneeg, this child will take you to Jannah, and this child will take you maybe to hellfire. So at that time you have to figure, no, that my children are grown up now, and they're grown up, then I figure, that's not figure then. Then first your hisab will be taken, you will be accounted for. As soon as the child is born, the daughter is born, straight away that time we need to change our lives for the better. We need to do tawbah and repent. Allah, you give me a responsibility now. Until now I was wrong, I was doing wrong, and now in front of this child I will never do my salah qada. This child doesn't understand something, but I swear by Allah, that child who's in your gold, the lappy understands that my mother prays salah. The baby, the mother understands that in the womb of my mother is going halal rizq and she's giving me milk. And then that child, don't consider that child as a baby. Total consciousness, nur and light and dhulamat start to come to the child at that time. We say, oh, it's a baby, a child. No, no, no. The child at that time, he starts the work, the actions. Either that child becomes a wali la ghawth. From the womb of the mother comes out the child. Remember this. And when a child is born, then no guidance of the dunya can correct that child. Doesn't matter, you can send that child to wherever you want. But that child will, if the child is good, then he will do the good actions of Ghusul Adam, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jani. And even from amongst hundreds of thieves, they say, how are you doing this action? He said, I don't know. But the milk that I drank from my mother, it was a halal milk. Subhanallah, halal milk. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right or wrong? So this is the tariqah, my brothers. So what is this? One thing Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed us, that look at the consequence of not praying salah. Come, let's promise to Allah. Let's promise to Allah, and we make a total promise that look inside our homes, that there should be obedience and not disobedience to Allah. Because this is not something to argue about. This is nothing to be worried about. This is such a message that Allah Ta'ala is delivering this message to us. And we should change and improve our lives for the better. We should attain our akhirah hereafter. And this vision that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, shaitan has instilled a wrong vision into our minds that progress is if we disobey Allah, enjoyments in the world. This is total nonsense, bakwas. First and foremost, when you do any amal from morning till night, see, there is this, an amal for Allah's happiness, or is Allah displeased with us? Say Subhanallah. I couldn't hear you say Subhanallah. Even now I can't hear you. Subhanallah. What a great discussion. I can't get enjoyment from the Subhanallah. From morning we should say every amal, every action, Allah pleased with my deed or displeased? If suddenly the response comes, Allah is displeased, then stop the action straight away. What should we do? Straight away stop the action. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And where will help come from? Assistance in Allah. Allah Ta'ala says that I am with the Muhsineen, don't worry, I'm always with the Muhsineen. And not that Allah Ta'ala says I'm with those people or the Muhsineen, or am I with the monkeys and apes? No, I'm with the Muhsineen. Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen.